friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And sometimes I forget, but this is still Will Blue Otter, OCO again, Lee, Tahigu, which means I am fine. How are you? And words, a couple sentences every Cherokee ought to know, and anybody else that wants to. We're finally going to get together with Sky Mason, and I don't want to apologize for last week. I burned through two old computers this month, and I knew it was coming. Spirit, this is really, here's a way to teach a lesson here. Didn't even think about it till now. But I had half a terabyte of all kinds of information on there. I'm building something. I think I'm going to call it the Prophecy Keeper. Well, I said something called the Prophecy Keeper Archive, but this is way bigger than that. It would be bigger than anything that's available anywhere. And because I've got all of everybody's stuff on it, you know, in one place. So anyway, anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked, but Sky, how are you doing? Let's talk about Red Elk.
I'm doing pretty good.
What's and hey, folks, and if you're out there listening, just call in. Let's there's a lot of friends of Red Elk out there, and man had a big footprint, and he was so much in harmony. It was like, you know that new show. Do you watch that new show? Kevin Almost Saves the World.
No.
It's on every week, and it's about a guy. Who was chosen to go and scout 36 of righteous people in the world, which is an interesting number, because that's we hear the same thing from other sources. You know, how there's I think it was Doug Boyd wrote in his book, the guy that wrote Rolling Thunder, maybe it was Doug. I think he mentioned that at any one time. Many people believe that there are 36 people in the world who can literally travel through time and space. One Tuscarora man I know says he called it traveling without your suitcase. In other words, without your body, you know. And there are a lot of stories in that book. It's called Mad Bear, and if you get a chance to read it, it's probably on Kindle or something, but it's a good read. And, but yeah, people believe that Mad Bear was one of these people. And, there were times when Rolling Thunder and his guys would be down in San Francisco somewhere for to do a, you know, he did a lot of talking and speaking in the Bay Area, Rolling Thunder did. And anyway, he realized he needed to talk face to face with Mad Bear. And so he people say he just well, let's see. Grandmother Chokosh Aho'o told me years ago that she was a witness to this. That he went out onto a balcony of this apartment and just, you know, set up a prayer with a pipe. 15 minutes later, Mad Bear knocks on the front door. And that afternoon, somebody finds Mad Bear's truck, and he's told everybody, hey, you know, sometimes I just travel, and, you know, if you find my truck on the rest someplace, please drive it home. And yeah, some of these people that are really special, like your grandfather, Mad Bear, and so many others, there's very few people in the world that I would affix the title of a divine. That's not a deity. It's not God, but it's a person who, through whatever means or agency, he's really different. And, so, you know, hey, well, I mean, we've been writing about in comic books, you know, it's basically superpowers. And mm-hmm. this is the kind of stuff that, you know, drawing from the Bible, and he was very, very much a purist on that. And that's good because, most of his audience would relate to that. And, but yeah, you know, Red Hawk was a trip. He was really a trip. Yeah. And he was, I interviewed him probably no less than 15 times on this show, just after it got started. And, and we had some fun times together in Missouri and then again in Utah. And then, but anyway, so, well, do you ever see your grandpa in a dream or anything?
Yeah, on occasion.
Yeah, it's funny. And, I'll bet that you the sensation, you know, sometimes there's all kinds of different communications that you could get from Creator. You just gotta watch, you know, and it's like 2-3 nights ago I dreamt that I was piloting this jet aircraft, and then I found myself at home, and a knock on the door, and a bunch of my friends arrived. And. And I said, they said, oh, we'll move our cars. And I said, oh, well, let me move my airliner. And my airliner was sitting, I mean, it was like it had been backed into such a place that, you know, between its right wing and the body, I mean, there was a house. And, I mean, it was shoehorned in and done with great skill. It was a mind blower. And it didn't, you know, it didn't have any, kind of had a seafoam green paint. And then right behind the forward door, the ingress door that everybody goes in and out of, I saw three letters. And the letters were D-A-T. And I thought to myself, oh, that's really interesting. And so right away I got up and I thought, well, you know, I said, that sounds like it might be Latin. And, you know, because I knew there's a few words, Latin words like concordat, data. And anyway, it just meant given. And, and you know, so, you know, that's what we're here. You know, I get all kinds of different way. I mean, I get Rebus is people of my age know what Rebus is because we used to see it in the newspapers. But it's literally word pictures that add up. You know, that when you sound them together, they sound a word. And But anyway, you know, we're not here to talk about me. But I was just trying to give some feedback what Red Up did. So what have you learned from? Yeah, tell us about Grandpa and what you think he's telling you.
Well, he's definitely taught me a lot, and there's a lot of stories I can definitely talk about. Well, I mean, there were kind of two topic things that I wanted to talk about this on this radio show. And one of them was, since I don't know if you're a medicine man or very spiritual, but I had a dream about 2 or 3 months ago, and this was a dream that God had given me. And what he, in this dream, he said that there's a very old Native American teaching that is almost completely forgotten, but there are very few people who still remember it. And what the Native people call it is Odagawe. And what Odagawe is where you would go into the forest, and you would stay there until you're able to do any kind of spiritual ability. So that could be a couple of days, staying there a couple of weeks, months, maybe even years. You just stay there until you can do that ability. And then once you can do that ability, then you take a break for 3 days. So you can go back to your family, you can continue to stay in the woods, or you can do whatever it is you want to do. And then once those 3 days are up, you go back into the woods, and again, you stay there until you're able to do that spiritual ability. And then again, you take a break for 3 days. And then once those 3 days are up, you go back into the forest, and once you do the spiritual ability for a third time, on that very special day, something, he didn't tell me what, but he told me something very spiritual and something very enlightenment is going to happen to you. And so this was after my grandfather passed, so I couldn't really ask him, but I've been very curious and trying to find if other people have heard of what Odagawa is. So I thought I would ask you.
Well, the Sioux would call it Hanbletja, crying for a vision, and different terms like going out on the hill, or vision quest is probably the most recognizable one. Overall the whole world, it would be vision quest, and the images of which have been burned, beginning in 1975, they were literally burned into the conscience of the American people by the movie Billy Jack and the subsequent sequels, including one that was so explosive at the time because it was exposing the corruption, the high levels of our government. And it was sponsored by people like Lucy and Desi Arnaz and a lot of people, but they showed it to the congressman. He just flew into a rage, right in the middle of the movie. Cursed at everybody in there and turned over an expensive vase on the way out of the mansion and literally didn't wait for the electric gates to open. And he damaged both the gates and his vehicle. And then the 80s and 90s, we had a whole raft of, thanks to Kevin Costner and everything. It's a much bigger deal than it was. But, it all goes back to the 60s and fulfilling of the prophecy of the grandchildren of the yellow hair, talk about Custer. This is the grandchildren of those that, came to kill us, would be coming to us and asking for guidance. And so people just really been patient about it. And if it hadn't been for, those kind of prophecies, I just didn't see. How any kind of morale would continue. Somehow it got through. You know, the ceremonies were all outlawed. And I mean, geez, 120 years ago, they were murdering people like me. Literally.
Yeah.
You know, it was just incredible. And but what the heck? So things are changing. People are changing. It's a real, oh geez, you know, with what's going on, you know, right now in the government, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like, oh, you know, what is happening here? But I just, I'm hopeful. I really am. I see, and this is not a prophecy. I just, if Trump can behave himself, you know, maybe learn to be a politician. You know, we didn't want to elect one of those. And we, you know, hey, you know, we knew he was going to be bombastic and unpredictable, but that's what a lot of the people in this country felt like they needed, including a lot of young people. And but we all knew the guy's, he's a little nutty, you know what? And so was Teddy Roosevelt. And so are a lot of people. I mean, we just so we'll see. There are a lot of challenges ahead. I mean, geez, you know, we got China. Of course, I'm getting off the subject now, but we got China going to go to the dark side of the moon, and trying to figure out what China is going to do next, and that's interesting because. I mean, there's some Bible prophecies that may fit into, may refer to them or something else. It's hard to tell, Book of Revelations. Anyway, it took me 48 minutes, but I guess I tried to answer your question. You know, we've actually got a caller. Area code 303. I know you're there, but let's, I guess Sky wanted to make one more point. And then we'll talk to you. But, Sky, did you want to make another point before we take this call?
No.
Probably. Well, yeah, let's spirit lead it. There you go, 303. What's your first name? Oh, my gosh. Looks like they left. They may have just called in to listen. Sometimes people just call in to listen, and they don't need to. But, yeah, let's continue.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere wandering around some kind of vein.
Okay. Well, one other thing that I was kind of curious about was on the link that you sent me so I could share with other friends,
mm-hmm.
spiritual people. In the description, it said that my grandfather was the keeper of the tunnels, if I'm saying that correctly. And I was just wondering what kind of tunnels are those? Like, are they the tunnels that go to the Middle Earth, or?
Now, you got to understand, I'm talented enough to do it, but to research and do my own bios, but that's something literally that I cut and pasted from who knows where, you know, but I knew, but as far as, you know, what he used to talk about, the only he talked about a lot of things. sorry. And by the way, there's probably, let's see, 30 plus hours. I mean, it'd be slogging. You can go back and listen to what he and I talked about back in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, but Mel's Hole, you know, would be one example. Just
Hole.
Underground, you know, pyramids, you know, he's talked about a lot but I do remember him telling me, you know, he probably taught 10,000 people. But he says there was, you know, 5 or 10 maybe that, you know, learned about two way prayer. And,
mm-hmm.
It's just such a foreign thing, but like, I mean, your grandpa knows, like Frank Bookman did, I'll talk more about Frank Bookman later, but you know that people are supposed to get together and they're supposed to, or maybe, you know, I mean, we talk about confession of sin, you know, well, you know, back in, you know, back 2,000 years ago, people are showing, like we do today, and so together with people over a good meal and joking about stupid stuff you did that week. Maybe it's a little different from what, you know, average person might think of what a confession is, but, you know, it's a good thing, but, I got sidetracked again. ask me
okay.
Something else. Yeah.
Well, what can I talk about? Well, I've been very kind of interested about aliens and Area 51, so we could talk about that.
Well, let me tell you my UFO stories, and because I never get tired of telling these stories.
Okay,
let's see. The first, I think my first UFO experience, I was like 8. And we were moving to California for the, and this would be about 1961. And we had bounced, we're moving from Minneapolis to LA. My dad was going to go to work for Donald Douglas, Douglas Aircraft, going to run a division for him. And, we were had been in Denton, Texas, the night before, and it was in the fall, probably before school, or maybe it wasn't. It was right around that time, October, but it was unseasonably cold that night. And my dad talked about how he had to spend half the night with the janitor trying to figure out how to get the switch over from air conditioning to heat because they were always freezing. And but we. As was his usual practice, whenever we go on a trip long distance, he'd get everybody up at 3, and he'd say, just go to sleep in the car, snuggle up, whatever, and I'll just drive, because he liked to drive. And so we weren't too far out of Denton, maybe an hour, I don't know, and it was a very dark night, no moon, and I was up front riding shotgun, and I was very interested in astronomy back then and had a telescope and all that stuff. And can you still hear me, Sky?
Sorry.
Okay, good deal. Sound changed to lost the white noise in my headphone. So I had my elbows up on the big metal dashboard of this 61 olds, you know. And we're traveling west, and of course, there's a little bit of a glow from the green dashboard. And I was looking up to see what I could see, and I saw a thing. It was really interesting because, 2,000 years ago, they would have said it was a flying boat. But it was some kind of a cigar-shaped craft. It was only about 50 foot long. But it had, I remember it said 3 fins on the underneath part. And I saw it. Dad didn't see it, but he said, "What was that?" And we felt like there was your hair standing up on your arms, you know? Kind of, uh-huh. I guess my mom and sister in the back, we all felt it. And but that was my first, you know, Dad had always talked about them. He talked about one, I think it was when I was 2.5, would have been 57 or 8, I had to have chest surgery. And I was born with an inverted breastbone. And I guess mom and I were in Vicksburg, her home. And they took me there because we were living in Houston, but they wanted to take me to Vicksburg to get the surgery. And my dad was driving from Texas, from Houston to with mom's brother, and they're both engineers. And They said a UFO followed them from, geez, all the way from Dallas to Jack, you know, nearly to Vicksburg. And this thing, you know, it would follow them, it would pace them, and then when they would stop, it would stop, and it was just the craziest thing. And but you know, they, my family, you know, they weren't nutty like me, but they definitely believed in angels and divine intervention and stuff like that. Mom had a gift, and but I guess and I've had some doozies. Let me think about okay, my next experience, standing on, it was September 1976. I was standing on a street corner in Long Beach, and it was 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And I was just standing. I was never been a big beer drinker, but a friend of mine offered me one. We were doing some work on his car or something, and I looked out over the Pacific Ocean because we were on a high bluff, you know. And here come seven. Now these things, they were saucer shaped, and size wise, they looked as if the same. It's called angular measurement, but you know, they would have been about the same size as the sun or moon, but they were kind of pearlescent yellow, and that might have only been because of the colors that were in the sky. But they zoomed all the way from the west. Let's see, maybe 10 or 11 seconds from the horizon to horizon. And then one of them came back and stopped right directly above us, and just and kind of turned around and saw that it was wafer thin, and just disappeared. And I remember that was the day after the last Chinese above ground nuclear test. And I guess they had one. I pinpointed I got on the internet and figured out what the date was not long ago. And so yeah, you know, I was a probably taken at least an hour to tell you. And I make a deal. I will tell you all these stories. I just don't want to monopolize, you know, what's going on. And but yeah, but I'll fill you in on some of the other ones sometime. So what kind of what do you got to tell us? Or
well, one thing was that I think this was when I was 10. This must have been the fifth or sixth time I've seen a UFO, and there was this triangle. Well, I think it was triangle. It was at night, but the lights were in the shape of a triangle.
Yep. And it had a red. It had a red light in the middle.
Yeah.
They have a red light in the middle and like white lights on the corners. Yeah. That's called a TR-3B.
Yeah.
That's a U.S. That was a government ship.
Yeah.
It's pretty well known. Yeah, the triangular ones apparently are government, and because you know, there isn't any way that our governments haven't figured out to do something like this, and you know, it has to do with plasma generation, and you create a plasma field, and you know, and you can, you know, if you're sitting inside a ship with a plasma field, and you're going 1,000 miles an hour, I mean, you can make a 90-degree turn. And rather than be splattered on the edge of the inside of the ship, you know, you wouldn't even feel it. Yeah, just put in it. I saw one similar to that. It was, matter of fact, you can Google Walsenburg, Colorado UFO, Walsenburg, Colorado UFO. And this would have been in 2009, but it was very similar to this, and it had the, it was triangular. It had the red, it had little red dots at each corner, but it was a long triangle. It wasn't a triangle like the tier, you know, like the one you've seen, but it had that. But it had the little white, kind of looks like a blister or a white cloud or something on the TR-3B. This one was up at the front, but it was off center. It was wacky, but it was definitely, and it was, I was just out 9:30 at night and, you know, walking from this house that I was staying at to the RV I was sleeping in and, sort of thing. And I got it. I reported it to Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. And the next day there was guys out knocking on our door. I didn't, you know, I'll tell them the cross street, but we were two houses from that. We didn't answer the door. But there was also census going on, and we were kind of freaked out about the census, you know, right then. There are times where I do irrational things out of paranoia, but you know, everybody does a little of that, you never know, you know, I might have seen the wrong, you know, I've seen movies where you see the wrong thing and they come for you, you know. I'm too much TV, you know. Like you see the movie Natural Born Killers, you know, in the Hogan, you know, and he looks at the girl, there's a message in front of her that says too much TV, and the message floating in front of the guy was demon, you know. So too much TV, yeah, I'm sure. But But I'll tell you, Red liked to talk about this stuff, but he, you know, he was right down the line when it came to forgiveness. But you know, you just and he had to get after me, big time. I know, because we had a mutual friend that, geez, this old idiot. He made a pass at my wife, and I couldn't believe it. And Betty didn't say anything about it just before she died, But I mean, his wife was acting really weird, because you know we were living in a small community and it was a church group and we had a sawmill and a wood shop while I was gone, Betty, the wood shop was just a total mess, just needed to be reorganized, and you know, he tried to kiss her. Oh man, I'm telling you, it made me angry. But you know, he was a good guy, but a little. He's a little bloody. I mean, it was really, it's a character flaw. And, you know, everybody's got character flaws, and these are the kind of things that really can get in between people and really make you angry for a long time, you know. But I didn't want to forgive, but I did. Eventually, did. Probably should have done it sooner. But you know how he was about that.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, he was because you can't. Creator's just not gonna to talk to you, or it throws up a barrier. It shuts down the signal. Because I know your brain has to be in a certain. I don't know if I ever had a brain scan when I was little. I got hooked up to an EEG machine and was able to see little waves on the paper, maybe 10 or 12 different waves. But every one of those, now that, you know, they know each one of those and what happens to your brain, what your brain looks like now, as far as, you know, what parts are warm or cold or, you know, when you like you're dreaming. And, I think it's alpha waves that, are the, don't quote me, probably wrong about that, but, and I've had friends call it, you know, just an altered state, it's just, I mean, you're awake, but you're in an altered state where you're just relaxed, kind of mind's in neutral, and you're listening, and probably a good idea to go ahead and say, hey, I'm listening, and spend, you know, 15 minutes a day, and preferably with a pencil and a piece of paper, because the thoughts that are going to come to you, a lot of times, they may sound like gibberish. They may, whatever it is you get, write it down. Do it as often as you can, at least once a day. And I do it when I wake up in the morning. Usually, you know, the cats will come in, dance all over me. Get up, fetus. And but then I'll go, you know, I won't get up right away. I might, you know, well, I might get up and feed him. I'll come back to bed for maybe 45 minutes. And it's just, it's harder as I get older now. It's harder to remember the dreams. And, but they are very fleeting. And, if you're really serious about it, you know, just get a voice operated, recorder. And then if you see something in a dream and wake up slightly to the point where if you realize, hey, that's important, you know, say it and the recorder will pick it up. And that'd be the real way to harvest dreams and look at, and then go to a dream dictionary. I use dreammoods.com and, seems to work for me because the dreams, most of them are to help you with your personality. That's what I've found. Going to have you take a look you'll get all kinds of messages sometimes there'll be a serious kick in the butt. You know, here a couple of years ago, I saw my first wife, Joanne, and there was nothing said. Hang on a second. But the imagery was I was buying something at the dollar store and she was checking me out. Well, I was just taking an idiot to realize, hey, she's here checking me out. And there was one word that came through. Her mouth lips didn't move. She didn't blink. She just looked at me. And I remember what it was like when she looked at me. But she carried a message, and the message was about a character flaw, and I took it to heart. And, you know, that's what they're there for. A lot of other religions have talked about such a thing. I guess Eric Casey called it the Akashic Record, and just an ocean of information. I try not to let in any, I'm a person that will take a look at other people's beliefs and I'll stack it up and say, oh, well, I don't know whether I've ever experienced that or not. And so as you get to looking around, you'll understand that there are certain things that happen. It doesn't matter what religion or whatever. I mean, if you're a good person, you know, you can go after, you know, these gifts and help. I mean, most people are lost in their life, just totally wandering, you know, aimless. But more and more people are, you know, trying to help themselves, and they realize how spiritually bereft they are and the world is. And a lot of times their churches, you know, are just not cutting it for them for whatever reason. And they want to look at, or they feel a yearning, you know, for, you know, a lot of people like you and me that have Native American blood. They feel a real yearning to go back toward it, and thousands and thousands of people, and which has also brought the problem of people that. Try to teach before they themselves are fully ready to. And but it's wild. It really is. I'm not so much of a channeling guy. I just never was. I don't not saying, you know, It's just that when I first became aware of it, I read a lot up about it, but you know, you got one person talking here and another person over here contradicting, and that's not supposed to be a good sign. So I've just and Dr. Rogers is the same way. He firmly believes in and this is the reason, you know, I know my guests probably would like to talk to me before the show, and I've got a practice of not doing that, because I want to let the spirit run the show. I'm kind of trying to surrender the program over to the creator, and so I didn't want to bring up anything that we wouldn't talk about during the show, or
mm-hmm.
anyway. So yeah, and that's in and that's kind of the way I am. I'm just who I am, and everybody should be that different. We've the society. I mean, there's a lot of good things about America. Maybe one bad thing was, well, that, you know, geez, what examples did they have that was better than Rome? But Rome tended to, you know, like the Nazi Germany and a lot of other governments, tend to turn out cookie cutter people. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody's names are chosen from a list or whatever, and there wasn't any. And I think this is why people love the way Native Americans do things, because everything, if it's done right, should be done through a spiritual connection. And I just don't think that there's any better example. And you know, there are millions and millions of people that agree with us, and you'd think more of them would listen to this show, but it's just an ocean out there, you know. And you know, we do get people. So the nice thing about it is these shows are recorded, and they're going to be on the internet as long as we can keep the $40 a month bill paid, you know. And that's not too much of a stretch. And you know, it's just like, you know, all your EPA stuff is out there if anybody wants to listen to it. And mm-hmm. you know, it's universal. You can listen to it any time, because you know, we weren't necessarily driving it, you know, based on a cycle or what's going on in the world. But it's just, you know, hey, what's cooking in your head, and what do you think Creator's telling you?
Mm-hmm.
I got to run my life that way, or it'd be way too boring.
Yeah, it would.
But hey, if there's anybody out there, you know, call in. And we're getting upwards of 30 people that are actively trying to listen to this show. And yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, that's in a week, and then you know, it's a good way. You know, for thought leaders, I guess that's what you and I are, thought leaders, to get the thoughts out there, and people can listen to them at their leisure, and let you live a little bit more relaxed existence. Mm-hmm. And I don't think ever since I was little, I can get up and go and really do stuff and do it and really kind of in a hurry. But I guess I probably had a little bit of ADHD when I was a teen, probably going back to when I was little, because and my son kind of caught it too. If I got really absorbed in something, it's really hard to tear me away from it. And sometimes if you try to, I get grouchy, you know, so, and that's something I have to fight. And, but I, you know, I just look at, I think your grandpa would agree, you know, life's you know, someday we'll wake up out of this dream and we'll look back and there's, we're supposed to get some kind of treasure out of this life that, little bit, because this is just, you know, mortality is very brief. We live forever. We've been living forever. But, you know, we got some kind of game going on here, and everybody likes to play games. And life, well, I guess, poor Marlon Brando, he said before he died that he says, you know, he says, well, after I'm dead and leave this world and wake up, he says, I think the first thing I'm going to think is, what the F was that all about? only he used the real expletive. It shouldn't be that way, damn it. You know, people shouldn't be giving up that easy on themselves and you know, wondering, well, what's it all about? And gosh, no, you know, we've got people that are just have so little hope. And you know, let's face it, a lot of it has to do with too much materialism, not enough charitableness, and if you want to take the Bible example, that's the thing that God hates. You know, He hates that people that come into your town, and, you know, you shouldn't abuse them. And if you go and read about Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't because of so much of the sexual stuff that was going on. I think people read a lot of that into it, but if you drill down to the real issue that God was mad about, He was mad because people were not being charitable toward travelers and people that were in need, mm-hmm. and people that were vulnerable, and you know, and the widowed and the orphans. And so, I'll tell you, all anybody needs to do to figure out that this world's pretty screwed up is just turn on the news. And, yeah, it's sad. But, you know, it was as far as perspective on how things are, I thought that I grew up during this is an awful period of time. And but I was reading about what was going on in London back in 1910 when Lord Baden-Powell put together the Boy Scout movement. And he just took a bunch of kids off this urchins off of the street. And, you know, there was drunkenness. There was hypodermic, what do they call that? Injectable drugs, heroin, all that stuff. And he just, it was probably times are better now in a lot of ways because people, it seems to be a little bit higher standard of living now than there was. And well, I can tell you for a fact there was because, at least that's the way it is here in the United States. And, slowly the world seems to be slouching toward Bethlehem. To be born, to quote the old, I don't know if you ever heard that poem. I think it was written by Yeats. Interesting, but I've been on a real bender tonight. I don't usually talk this much, but yeah, it's good. I've been thinking, and for years we've had a lot of people, you know, come on and talk about what they're doing, stuff like that. But yeah, it was time to chat a while so people can figure out what we're doing, and I just wish some more friends had a chance to call in. But once we get this going,
next time.
Yeah, we'll just do this every week, and let's just see what it grows into. You know, when Mac had to go, I knew things were going to change because he's been arranging guests now for several years, and. But he's gone an educational director and was going to have the time to do this. And but yeah, this is fun because this really is the kind of stuff we need to talk about. And we've kind of gotten away from it for several years. And in some ways, Nothing changed. It's just, and that's what happens when you let something seemingly drift along. You kind of wonder, well, you know. But, you know, all we can do is count our guidance and do that, you know. And if anybody would really like to know, let me tell you about a man. You can look him up. This man, who you've never heard of, was probably in a lot of ways responsible for most of the good things that happened before, during, and after World War II. But he's been so maligned. I mean, from this guy spraying Alcoholics Anonymous and a myriad, I mean, thousands of organizations, including this one. The central idea is we want to go out, we want to change the world, but we don't want to establish a church. We don't want to have dogmas. We just want everybody to come from where they're at and get together and talk about spiritual stuff and how we can change the world. And but this whole thing, this is literally unheard of. Until this man, Frank Buchman, Buchman, started preaching. And he was, you know, born in Pennsylvania, a Lutheran minister. And but he had his own ideas about things. And, you know, and even though in his early life, and this is how, I mean, you put him in a Google search, Frank Buchman. Oh, and you're going to hear about people saying, oh, did you know he was really a Nazi? You know, we can't have that. And, oh, my gosh, did you know he formed a cult? And, you know, and my gosh, you know, I think Jesus said something, about, and he had people up to and including three presidents of the United States. And everybody who was important in any way back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s loved this guy. But because he was teaching purity, and in his mind that did not include homosexuality, and that people needed to be less materialistic, and you know, it was so. 30s and 40s. I mean, my gosh. Winston Churchill made similar statements to me back in the 30s. You know, after World War I, thinks, you know, the way they set up the peace after that, the armistices absolutely drove Germany into slavery. I mean, it was awful, and the people reacted. They're very smart and industrious people, but nobody really knew what fascism was all about. And, it was an experiment, and it was too bad because they were trying to reinvent the wheel over there. And it was kind of like, you know, Europe. God just let Europe go as mad as they wanted to get, and they just became very mad. You know, communism was, and those people are totally godless, and they thought they had the answer for the world, which was. You know, we all know how that worked out. And millions of people dead, and the unbelievable suffering in the world, and then you know, God arranges, you know, for them to collapse, and then for 8 years they were eating out of our hand. Not to say that we were better. They were looking to the United States as, you know, hey, you know, we want to be like you. You know, help us out with this democracy thing, and then we bombed Yugoslavia or somewhere in that area, and you know, the Russians have always believed, hey, you know, you bomb wherever you want to, but you don't bomb in a country that's neighboring us, and that was it, you know, and so they kind of started walking back toward. That's the reason why you've got Putin now. They wants to kind of bring back the glory of Russia, but. You know, I mean, they're a power, but they only got 100 million people, and you know, most of their population is I mean, they got the largest country in the world, but like 90% of it's unoccupied. It's wild. And it's, I mean, Siberia, I mean, my gosh, you know, but untold, you know, wealth. I mean, they're, you know, they come basically from the same or similar genetic stock as Northern Europeans. And, but they just think differently. And, oh my gosh. And it could sure get nasty, but when they overthrew the monarchies, you know, over 100 years ago, and a lot of people went toward communism, and but the world was really going to be a real mess. I don't think we could have survived. The Cold War would become a hot war, and a lot of people that are alive today simply wouldn't be alive. But I encourage people, if you really want to know how to do something in the world. And we need more people like this. I mean, he was accused of being megalomaniacally positive in the way he went about things. And but I mean, he was just a, he was a guy that was on fire, you know. And there's a lot of people, you know, maybe not as intense as he was. A lot of people in the world that really want to make a difference, and so that's what we're all about, you know. And that's fun talking about it. And you know, once a week it gets me out of my funk. Well, anyway, we got a few more minutes. If you want to say anything.
All right. Since you were talking a little bit about the Nazis and that kind of
yeah.
stuff, you probably already know this, but the Nazis, the reason why Hitler was so fond of I can't remember what he called them, but the blonde hair, blue eye, white
Aryan.
People.
Aryan.
Yeah. The reason why he was so fond of them is because that is exactly what the reptilian half-breeds look like.
Yeah, there you go.
Were very tied into the Nazis. And
the Nazis, of course, when they came to power, they said, "Oh, we'll never abandon the Bible or God or Jesus," one day everybody woke up, and you know all the crosses were taken out of all of the churches, and there were pictures of the Führer put up there. So that's what everybody knows how all that ended in tears. I mean, that was really something. And you know, that was a close one. I mean, I grew up seeing all the old Nazi war movies when I was a kid, you know, so I'm fully cognizant of all that stuff. But there's a lot of good shows, like, you know, there's a Hitler's Secret History and how they try. He did survive. And as a matter of fact, there's a new season starting this week about Hitler and how they tracked him and how long he lived and everything. And well, look, we're gonna go. I need to go. And we'll talk to you next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, we got to. They get a message out here before they cut the. They cut the signal here. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week, guys.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklavan Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
the sun on the dry ground. Sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around. Out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The sparrow and the antelope, the eagle high and the buffalo. Oh, mother of